TV.
Good morning, everyone. I am Martin Zender. Welcome to MZTV, and I share the information I'm going to share with you today because I think it's some of the most practical information that can be shared. And I love you. I love all of you. I want you to be well. I want myself to be well. And there is an affliction that is really worldwide. But I know it affects members of the body of Christ. I know several of you suffer with depression and anxiety. And it's just a black cloud that doesn't go away. And it can be panic-inducing when you think that there's no cure for it, or isn't it? It's kind of like a trapped feeling, like I can't get out of this. And I've been very honest with you. I've shared all my afflictions with you over the years. I've had a ongoing low-grade depression problem. It's not bipolar by any means, because I'm not up and down. It's just a steady feeling of, I don't know, gloom. I mean, I'm high functioning, and I can sometimes, well, I can fake it till I make it. And I always put it in my mind to lift up other people, to help other people. I don't mean this to sound like I'm some kind of goody two shoes guy. I guess maybe I do it to help myself. But I'm constantly looking to try to make other people feel good. And when I do that, and it seems to me kind of ironic, like here's a guy who's depressed, and yet he's trying to brighten the days of other people. I guess it's the fact of getting your mind off of yourself. And this is the key I want to talk to you about today. And there's a scriptural solution. There is a scriptural solution, and it has to do with action. It has to do with the body. God cares about all these afflictions. I know there are many with physical afflictions. I mean, as I said, I've been undergoing a series of Job-like trials. At least for me, that's what it seems like for the last year. And anytime anyone's having bodily problems, physical problems, energy problems, it leads to mental issues where you just slide into this morass of inactivity, of inability really to do anything. And I really feel terrible for people whose depression is so bad that they can't get out of bed. Like I say, I'm blessed to be high functioning. And I was taking depression medication for a couple years, but it didn't really do anything. It was bupropion, which was a generic brand of Wellbutrin. And I didn't really notice anything, to tell you the truth. I stopped taking it. And as some of you know, I use Kratom, which is legal in Florida, but it's not legal in some states. And I've reduced my intake of that by 2/3. I mean, I was taking a tablespoon at a time. Now I'm down to a teaspoon. So I'm doing my best. I can't quite at this time get off of it because of the physical things I've been going through. I feel like I need it to lift my mood. But there's one thing I do that, I mean, let me say this. I've been off Kratom a couple times. It's addicting like coffee, okay? I admit I'm addicted to it. And you have to wean off of it. I've weaned myself off of coffee like 2 or 3 times in my life for a long period of time, but I decided, it's not worth it. I like it too much, so I just get back on. But it's just a matter of reducing by 1/8 teaspoon every week. Very slow weaning. I'm very slow weaning myself off of anything. I've successfully weaned myself off of Kratom twice for more than a year, and then just decided, I wanted to get back on it because I just feel better. I may yet get myself off of it, but there's one thing I do that, thanks to my sister Kelly sending me 2 articles today, I'll tell you how this started. I am so happy. Listen, don't get me started talking about my sister. I will cry. She's my only sibling, and I love her, and she is always so careful and concerned about me, just like my wife Maria is, given her life to me, my wife has. And my sister, I've known her for a long time, and she also cares for my well-being. I have two of the best women in the world in my life. My mother unfortunately died several years ago, and my father died before that. So, somebody sent me, it was Sharon from Cleveland. She reminded me of that verse that God takes care of the orphans and the widows. And no matter how old you are, when you lose your parents, I know orphans can are only considered to be children, those who are still dependent, and they're called orphans if they lose both their parents at a young age. But I feel that no matter how old you are, when both your parents are gone, there's this orphan feeling. You really feel alone in life. And thank God for our spouses, our siblings, and whatever other relatives we have or friends to keep us in the game. But this life is an uphill struggle, whether it is anxiety or it is depression. Anybody who tells you, well, just stop being anxious or just stop being depressed, they don't get it. They've never experienced it. If somebody tells you, just think positive thoughts, and they think that that's going to solve depression, it's not that way. And so I have learned, I do not judge anyone who has anxiety issues or depression issues, and I don't judge them for what they have to do to deal with these issues. I mean, we're human, and it's such a relief to admit that, really, and to understand that other people are in the same boat. I mean, misery loves company. So my sister today, I like to talk with her. I send her voice texts while I'm running. And as you know, I've been running since I was 14 years old, on and off, but mostly on. I'm a bit of an extreme runner. As you know, I ran 66 miles last March 12th. 66 miles in 22 hours, which is, I'm not recommending anybody do anything like that. But this morning, I hadn't run 8 miles. 8 miles is my standard, 8 daily miles. That's like a vitamin pill for me. That's like get up, brush your teeth, run 8 miles, go to work. It's just part of my day. But I haven't been able to do that. I've been only doing 4 miles because of the pain I've been experiencing with this cyst under my neck, which is going to be taken care of, God help me, on Monday. So I told my sister, yeah, I got 8 miles in today. It's been a while. So she goes, congratulations. She a great cheerleader, and so is my wife. And then she sent me two articles that blew my mind. Now, I knew this, but she sent me two pieces by a guy I've never heard of. This man, his name is Anish Munka. And Kelly sent me an article about Winston Churchill, former Prime Minister of Great Britain during World War II. It's not well known that Winston Churchill suffered from depression. A lot of like creative people or the people who use their mind a lot suffer from depression. Artists, writers, people in the body of Christ. It's almost like we can't cope with being so special to God. I mean, I've never talked to you about this, but sometimes to have such a special place in God's sight, to be members of Christ's body, and then for me to have a calling within that calling to minister to the body of Christ for this many years, I feel like apart from the grace of God, so inadequate. I know he provides my adequacy day by day by day, but for some reason it can affect my feeling happy. It's very strange. I shouldn't even be talking about it because I can't explain it. So let me read you this short post by Anish Munka. It looks like an Indian fella. Never heard of him. He said this about Winston Churchill. And this is scriptural advice, and I'm going to go to the scriptures. You're not going to get too many MZTV shows where I don't go to the scriptures. I'm going to go to 1 Thessalonians 4:11. But before I get there, listen to this. And thank you, Kelly, my sister, 2 years younger than me, for sending me this. Winston Churchill fought his depression with bricks. Now, where do you hear this? If this helps one person out there, I'm going to be thrilled. But I think what I tell you today is going to help more than one person. And you don't need bricks, but if you have them, great, okay? Listen to this. Winston Churchill fought his depression with bricks. He would lay them for hours at his country home in Kent. He joined the Bricklayers Union. And in 1921, he wrote about why it worked. It took psychology another 75 years to catch up. Oh my God, isn't that always the way? God gives human beings this wisdom directly from above. And then science or psychology ends up finding out that the ancient wisdom has always been true. But again, science and psychology are always catching up to scriptural wisdom. He called his depression the black dog. It followed him for decades. His method for fighting it back was as basic as it sounds, laying brick after brick, hour after hour. Churchill spelled out his theory in a long essay for The Strand magazine. "People who think for a living," he wrote, and I include people in the body of Christ, because we think, in a way, we think for a living. We ruminate. This is what I meant to say a few minutes earlier. We ruminate all the time. We think about our place in the universe and God's place for us. And a lot of our time is spent in our minds. And the Apostle Paul tells us to engage our minds with the scriptures, but which can be complicated. And you can run into problems all the time, and we know that the body of Christ has disagreements. Anyway, I think that people in the body of Christ who, again, God has given us to use our intellect to understand his word, because his word is revealed to us with words, and which words have laws that we must follow, laws of language, in order to understand God. Let's go on. "People who think for a living," Churchill wrote, "can't fix a tired brain just by resting it. They have to use a different part of themselves, the part that moves the eyes and the hands. Woodworking, chemistry, book binding." And I know a bookbinder in Columbus, Ohio, and I think he's watching this, James Burson. God bless you, my friend. I think of you often. He's a bookbinder. He fixed my 1986 Concordant Literal New Testament when it was falling apart. He's a bookbinder by trade. James Burson, a beloved brother in Ohio. Anyway, woodworking, chemistry, bookbinding, bricklaying, painting, anything that, listen to this, anything that drags the body into a problem the mind can't solve by itself. I'm not done, but just pause on that. That is so profound. Do something, anything, apart from your mind, because our minds are so burned. I talked to another brother in Georgia. He says, as soon as I wake up, if I lay in bed more than 5 minutes, I'm shot, because my brain immediately starts working on trying to solve problems or ruminating over frustrations. And if I don't get out of bed, I'm done for. So he jumps out of bed and starts doing something. That's the key. That's part of the key to this. Anything that drags the body, and he has to drag his body out of bed, this guy. Sometimes that's what it takes. Anything that drags the body into a problem the mind can't solve by itself. Modern psychology now calls this behavioral activation. They always have a fancy name for it. I call it 1 Thessalonians 4:11, but we're going to get there. Modern psychology now calls this behavioral activation. It's one of the most studied depression treatments out there. This is recent, okay? This is modern. Get ready for this. Depression sets a behavioral trap. You feel bad, so you stop doing things, right? We all do this. You feel bad, whether it's anxiety or depression, you feel bad, so you stop doing things. And doing less means less to feel good about. So it's a trap. You start doing less, but doing less makes you feel worse, and feeling worse makes you want to do less, and doing less makes you feel worse. You see, it's a vicious circle. You feel bad, so you stop doing things, and doing less means less to feel good about. Feeling worse makes you do even less. The loop tightens until you can't breathe inside it. Damn, is this true? Behavioral activation breaks the loop from the action side. You schedule the activity first, even when every part of you doesn't want to. Doing it produces small rewards. Small reward, a little bit, just starting something physical. We're going to discuss what in a moment. Doing it produces small rewards. A wall gets straighter. A painting fills in. A messy room gets clean. Oh God, I can't do that. I can never get started on cleaning a messy room. Anyway, there's several things to choose from here. You don't need to do that one. Those small rewards slowly rewire the brain. Action comes first, and the feeling follows. This is almost like fake it till you make it. Researchers at the University of Washington put this to the test in 2006. They studied 241 adults with major depression and compared three treatments: behavioral activation, which is what we've been talking about, regular talk therapy — that's kind of what I do too, I have regular talk therapy 5 days a week, it's called MCTV, thank you for being my personal therapists — and antidepressants. For the people who were most severely depressed, behavioral activation matched the drugs. It beat the talk therapy. A 2014 review of more than 1,500 patients across 26 trials backed up the result. This gentleman continues, physical work like bricklaying does something extra on top of this. It crowds out rumination. Man, that's what we need right there. Crowds out rumination. The looping bad thoughts that grind people down during the worst stretches of depression. This is what the physical work, like for Churchill, putting up these bricks one by one, it crowded out that. Crowded out the looping bad thoughts that ground him down during the worst stretches of the black dog. Bricklaying needs both hands and gives feedback, brick by brick. Each one is straight or crooked. After an hour, you can see exactly how much wall you built. No room left for the mental chewing. The line George Mack used in his post. So I guess this Munka guy is referencing a post by somebody named George Mack. The line George Mack used in his post. I'm going to link you to this, okay? Look for a link down here. Is this, is quote, depression hates a moving target. OMG. Depression hates a moving target. He says that's good poetry. The science behind it is sharper. Depression hates a brain that has somewhere else to be. Depression hates a brain that has somewhere else to be. Here's a picture of Winston Churchill laying bricks. He's not building a damn thing except a wall that will be a part of nothing except his mental health. Now, I'm going to tell you the advice I gave for me. Running is bricklaying because it brings my body. What did this guy say? It drags the body into a problem that is the rumination that the mind can't solve by itself. If I'm sitting down and I'm just ruminating and ruminating, the mind can't out-ruminate itself. It can't talk itself out of the destructive loop. And so the body has to be called into play somehow. I mean, I know I'm talking to some people whose bodies don't work. If your hands work, and this is where Paul comes in, I should go to the scripture verse now, and then I'll tell you what I do, and then I'll tell you the advice I gave someone in the body of Christ and that I will give you. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9. Now concerning brotherly fondness, we have no need to be writing to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to be loving one another. For you are doing it also to all the brethren who are in the whole of Macedonia. Now we are entreating you, brethren, to be superabounding yet more, and that you be ambitious to be quiet. This is good. Everybody needs to just be quiet. And to be engaged in your own affairs. Beautiful advice. Basically, mind your own business. Mind your own damn business. Stop judging, analyzing other people's lives. And here it is. And to be working with your hands. OMG. There it is. Paul had it in the first century because God gave it to him. This is inspired scripture. Work with your hands. What did Paul do? He took a needle and thread and he made tents. And as mental as that guy was, as ruminatory as he was, as many theological or behavioral problems he had in his mind, it all disappeared when he sat down and made a damn tent. He would just use his hands. It was probably so liberating. Just do something. Needlepoint. I don't know. Legos. Build something with Legos. Just do something. I'm going to tell you what I do. You already know what I do. You already know what I do. Be ambitious to be quiet. Mind your own damn business. And work with your hands. And you don't have to make money. You think Churchill made money by laying these bricks? No. He just laid the bricks because, not because there was an end goal, because the bricks themselves, laying the bricks, that was the goal. It wasn't the destination. It was the journey. It was the activity. And work with your hands according as we charge you, that you may be walking respectably toward those outside and you may have need of nothing. So Paul's talking about working with your hands and making money by doing it. You know, packing groceries, stacking shelves, delivering things, making pizzas. I don't know, man. I really wish some days, I know I would be a saner person. I would be a more, let's say, a happier person if I had a job where I did something with my hands. Like if I just cleaned bathrooms or something on an afternoon in the evenings, whenever I used to fantasize about this back when things were really rough. I was in doing this work. This was in the 90s, but I would fantasize sometimes about quitting. Yes, God took me to the wall a couple times and I was looking for in the want ads. And my fantasy job was either driving a truck, which I think now would be terrible, or like cleaning offices at night when nobody's there. That would fill two things here, being quiet and three things. It would be quiet, being engaged in your own affairs and working with your hands. You got the toilet brush, you got your broom, you got your sweeper, you got your duster. Man, that solves everything. Cleaning offices in the evening. God, I think that would be a freaking dream job. I can't imagine that doing that and then that, like, that's all you have to do and somebody pays you and you lead a mountain quiet life. That'd be fantastic. That's not my calling. But sometimes I wish it were, but no, this is my calling. But it's noble work. Noble work. Cleaning shit is noble work. It is noble. Working with your hands. Anything with your hands. It's noble work. Making pizzas. Building hamburgers. God, I love these jobs. I love the people that do them. And anybody who thinks less of themselves for having a manual labor job, you're crazy because you are the healthiest people on the planet. God, and you come home and you feel good because you put in a day's work and you're tired because you worked with your hands and you saw results. You saw results, instant results. Oh, God. All right, this is what I do. What Winston Churchill laid brick, I lay my feet on the road. I run. And as you know, I run extremely slow. I have mastered my pace. I get into a zone. I run for my mind, not for my body. It does help my body. It does amazing things for the body, miraculous things for the body. But it's the mind primarily that I run for. It's Zen time. So you can shorten Zender to Zen. So running is Zen time. I go out every day for 2 hours and 15 minutes, and I'm on autopilot, and it's instant gratification. Just like Churchill laying brick upon brick upon brick, it's instant gratification because you take a step, you advance a step. You can see your progress. It can't help but work. Even if you're limping, even if you're a cripple and you're on a walker, you take a step, you advance a step. Never fails. Take a step, advance a step. Instant gratification. Not all jobs are like that. People who write books, for instance, they write the book, they sweat, they write the book, they sweat, and they don't. There's no gratification yet except in the process of writing the book, but they don't have any affirmation from the outside yet. Okay, some writers never get it. Yeah, it's a tough way to go. Instant gratification. And when you're cleaning a toilet, I mean, it's fantastic. You see the shit around the rim, and you get a brush and get it in there, and it's gone. It's gone. It's gone. You did it. A mirror looks like crap. It's got stuff all over it. Squirt it with Windex. It's clean. It's fantastic. It's so satisfying. But running does that for me. And let me tell you something. I recommended to a friend in the body of Christ who suffers from anxiety and depression. I said, get your ass outside and walk. I don't care if it's cold. Don't tell me it's too cold. Don't tell me it's too hot. Don't tell me it's too wet. Don't tell me it's too foggy. Don't tell me it's too dark. Don't tell me it's too bright. There's always an excuse not to go. I have to drag my ass outside every day. It's still hard getting out. But once I start taking those few steps, and I told my friend, I said, if you have to bundle up like an Eskimo or like Admiral Perry on an Arctic voyage, or did Admiral Perry, was he the Antarctic? I can't remember. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I think he was the Arctic guy. Scott. Yeah, that he was the Antarctic guy. If you have to bundle up, and I say, and go out and walk 5 minutes out and 5 minutes back. That's short. It doesn't matter. No. No, you're getting out. You're getting out. That's how it starts. People want this instant. They want to run marathons the day they start running, or they want to be able to go do for an hour. No, you go out for 2 minutes. Can you leave your house and walk for 2 minutes? Take your watch. Don't run by distance, run by time. Take your watch. Get your ass out of the house and move. If it's raining, wear a raincoat. If it's cold, wear a parka. Go 2 minutes and come back for 2 minutes. That's it. You're done for the day. You're done. Tomorrow, do the same thing. The next day, do the same thing. The next day, the same thing. And then the day after that, try 3 minutes. That's the beginning. Your body can rescue you from your mind. If you can't work with your hands, work with your feet. I work with my feet. I work with my feet. It's a necessary job. I am relieved. There's a thing called the runner's high. If you get to where you're moving at a right sprightly clip, your mind does go into endorphin mode. You get these feelings of highness. I've come up with so many shows while I've been running. So many shows have come to me. So many ideas. And I have to take out my phone and dictate to my phone to keep up with it. It's amazing. And then I come back and I'm kind of floating for a while. I'm like, damn, this is good. It doesn't start that way. It doesn't start that way. You know, my theory on running or walking is this: start slow and taper off. That's my motto. I follow it. And I tell you, if people are walking fast out there, they will be passing me. I am running, mind you. I am running. They're walking fast and they pass me. That does really bother me. I mean, I do have an ego, and that bothers the hell out of me. I'll either stop and let them go by, or I'll pick up my pace and suffer. You're like, I can't let this person pass me. I see the shadow coming up, and I said, that person's walking, and they're gaining. I can't handle this. So off I go at a right sprightly clip. I can't handle it. I can't handle that. It's my ego. Oh, and concerning walking or running, I did tell you there was another entry by this Anish Munka guy, and listen to this. He says this: research at the University of Queensland, apparently that's in Australia, just compared every major depression treatment across 218 trials and 14,170 patients. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. Walking and jogging worked better than antidepressants. The effect was more than twice as strong. And walking or jogging, doing what I do, running, like my pace, my form is perfect. I'll explain it to you. If anybody wants me to make a whole show on how to run, I can do it. But it's Just walk. You don't have to run. People hate to run. I hate to run because you're not running correctly and you're wearing the wrong shoes, okay? It's hard on my knees. You're running incorrectly and you're using the wrong shoes. My calves, you're running incorrectly and you're using the wrong shoes. I have shins, but you're... Okay, been through that. It is the repetitive motion. You know, back in the Bible days, a day's journey... I've done research on this. A day's journey, you can find this out from certain passages where they say, and they went a day's journey from this place to that place. It was a day's journey. A day's journey works out to approximately 24 miles a day. So it was common for people in the Bible days to travel on foot 24 miles a day. Grandma could walk 24 miles a day. It was common. Of course, we're so totally out of shape today. We so totally drive everywhere. We so totally don't like to walk or bicycle or anything. Bicycling is great too, or swimming. Anything repetitive. But the thing you can do anywhere. And if it's cold, I don't care. Wear two pairs of socks, put a hat on. There's no excuse. Get out the door. But in the Bible days, Granny could walk 24 miles, could cover 24 miles by foot. Let's put it that way. Could cover 24 miles by foot in a day. Granny. It was common. That was a day's journey. And Jesus and his disciples walked many, many miles or furlongs or cubits, whatever distance they walked. And let me ask you something. What if they were late, like for a wedding? They're all heading to Cana for the wedding and they're late. What do you think they do? Of course, they start jogging. I love to see, and I want to see this. I want to be able to see Jesus and his disciples jogging down a dirt path, because I know they did. That was your only option if you were late. That was your only option if you told somebody you'd be there and you're not there yet, you had a delay. Guys, we got to move a little quicker. So they broke into a trot. And they were practically barefoot, if not barefoot, but they wore very light leather sandals. And you can buy light leather sandals today made for primitive walking. I'm all into light footwear. I'm all into barefoot running. I'm all into minimalist. I am a minimalist, okay? At heart. I don't often follow my heart. I get myself into certain complications, but at heart, I'm a minimalist. And these guys had these little sandals strapped on their feet. They weighed less than an ounce or however they measured weight, less than a quarter of a shekel. And, no, that's money. Okay. And they would start jogging down the road. They would trot. It's all the RPMs, baby. It's just the repetition. They would all trot. And they trot, and they could talk at the same time. Hey, so what do you think of the bride? Oh, she's a catch. Yeah. I hope they have that some of that Mediterranean wine. Oh, you mean the stuff from the valley? Yeah. They would all talk, and Jesus would be saying, you know, I haven't done any miracles yet. Yeah, we noticed. When are you going to start? I don't know. Maybe you can. You got to be able to talk. If you can't talk when you walk, you're going too fast. You can't talk when you run. Slow down, son. And see, I'm extreme. I can do that for 22 hours with hardly any stopping because I've learned a technique. I am so ergonomically sound. I work with the laws of physics. Gravity is pulling me along. Not my legs. Gravity. I'm a master of gravity. I know how to use it. I'm falling down. It's a controlled fall. My running is a controlled fall. I can teach you if you want to know. Very valuable. To me, it's like a gold mine. It keeps the black dog in the doghouse. So, and isn't it interesting that in 1 Thessalonians, right after this passage, after Paul says that you may be, he says, be engaged in your own affairs, be quiet, engaged in your own affairs, working with your hands, according as we charge you, that you may be walking respectably and of need of nothing. The very next verse. Now, we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are reposing, lest you're snatching away. The snatching away passage is right after this. Wow. Lest you may be sorrowing, as according as the rest also have no expectation. For if we're believing that Jesus died and rose, holy crap. Right after this is the snatching away. Is it a coincidence that the worst of our mental trauma happens right before the snatching weight. It is not. We need relief. Do something. Stack Legos. Lay bricks. Needlepoint. Or drag your ass outside tomorrow and walk for 3 minutes total. I know you can do it. It's going to lead to relief.